The Whopper from Burger King is an icon of American culture, but there's a new Whopper these days that's gotten a complete overhaul. And this version of the classic burger has a big mission: to help save the planet. Here's the world's Jason Margolis.
People in the St. Louis area have recently been seeing this commercial.
This Whopper has no beef.
That's impossible. This tastes just like a classic Whopper.
No beef.
Introducing the Impossible Whopper with a patty made from plants.
I'm sorry?
The new Impossible Whopper comes from Impossible Foods, a Silicon Valley startup. Scientists there spent years trying to find just the right plant-based formula to recreate the flavor, texture, and sizzle of a beef hamburger. It's part of a global effort to cut down on the environmental impact of meat, especially beef. The Impossible Burger has already been available in select restaurants and grocery stores for a while, but the company is hoping its appearance in 59 Burger Kings around St. Louis will be a breakout moment.
Tastes just like a Whopper.
I've never had plant taste like beef before.
Tastes like a Whopper. Tastes like a Whopper.
That's Burger King's spin. Of course, I wanted to put it to the test myself.
Hi. Can I get one regular Whopper and one Impossible Whopper, please?
I went to a St. Louis Burger King to try it out. I sat in a corner booth and put the two burgers side by side.
I haven't been to a Burger King in a long time. Used to come a lot as a kid in high school. I know what the Whopper tastes like. The taste has not changed.
I removed the onions because I don't like onions. Then bit into my alternative Whopper and articulated my thoughts, mouth stuffed with food.
I gotta say, I don't think it's quite as flavorful. It's close, but it's not exact.
Now, not to be too disparaging towards Burger King, but neither Whopper was worth writing home about. That said, I've had an Impossible Burger at another restaurant, and it was terrific. Juicy, moist, super flavorful meat crumbles. It's also similar to beef in terms of calories, protein, and fiber. So, how did they do it? Impossible Foods says the key ingredient is a protein from soy called heme.
We were the first to discover that heme is what makes meat taste like meat. It's highly abundant in animal muscle tissue, and if you were to eat meat raw, that bloody flavor that you get, that's heme. And when you cook meat, with all the different flavors and aromas that you get, that is catalyzed by heme as well.
To scale up, scientists at Impossible Foods genetically engineer yeast to produce big batches of heme and combine it with other plant-based ingredients. The company's five-word mission statement is bold: to save meat and Earth. They say modern animal agriculture is wreaking havoc on the climate and our ecosystems, and they want to entice burger lovers to a satisfying substitute.
They're actually going after meat eaters, trying to create a product that actually does imitate meat in a way that you wouldn't really know the difference.
Eric Bull has also tried the Impossible Burger.
They're not trying to go for the niche market of vegetarians and vegans. They're really looking at the broader public and doing a pretty good job of creating products that taste fairly similar.
Bull isn't some vegan environmentalist. He's with the Missouri Farm Bureau, which represents the state's livestock producers. The writing is on the wall. The vegetarian burger movement is growing fast. White Castle is selling an Impossible slider, and Carl's Jr. sells a burger produced by the company Beyond Meat. And now Burger King says its St. Louis experiment has gone so well that it's rolling out the Impossible Whoppers nationwide. Add it up, some ranchers are bracing for a fight against meatless burgers.
I have not tried one, and I do not intend to.
Bill Bullard is the CEO of RCAF USA. He represents about 5,000 cattle producers. He says consumers are being misled about what they're actually eating.
And so these companies need to be disciplined or have the responsibility and integrity to clearly denote that the products that they are producing and offering to consumers is not a meat product, is not derived from family farmers and ranchers here in the United States of America, and instead is lab produced.
Several states are considering laws requiring that only products from animal flesh can use the word meat. Missouri passed the first such law last summer. Backers of the new plant-based products are pushing back with a lawsuit, arguing that the labeling laws muzzle free speech and are an attempt by the conventional meat industry to stifle competition. And in fact, the Impossible Burger doesn't use the word meat in its labeling, so they're in compliance with the new Missouri law. Eric Bull with the Missouri Farm Bureau supports his state's new law, but says his industry can't fight new meat alternatives with just labels.
I don't think that these products are going away anytime soon, and the money that is behind them is significant. If we are just going to pretend like it doesn't exist, we're doing our own industry a disservice.
Bull says farmers need to compete by better selling their own story. Humans are omnivores who have always eaten meat. And beef remains just as healthy as the new plant-based alternatives. But nutrition isn't Impossible Foods' hook. Again, they're all about allowing you to keep enjoying your burgers while also lowering your impact on the planet.
The World's Jason Margolis there. So as Jason mentioned, the idea behind the meatless burgers is to create a more environmentally friendly alternative to beef. According to the World Resources Institute, raising cattle is by far one of the most carbon-intensive ways to produce protein. One big problem? As they digest their food, cattle produce a lot of methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. Paul West has studied that impact. He's with the University of Minnesota's Institute on the Environment.
At a global scale, what we eat, it matters a lot because agriculture as a whole, it accounts for about a quarter of all the emissions on the planet. So that's more than all the planes and trains and automobiles, electricity in their houses, et cetera. And one of the biggest impacts on our climate in terms of food is livestock, especially beef. Now, I know it sounds funny if you think about a cow that is burping and farting, and yet it does actually have a big impact on the planet.
Is it all the burping and farting that creates the methane gas?
Yes, and having a focus on methane from our livestock certainly has a very big impact in terms of overall impacts on the climate, but it's also we're able to see a positive impact on the climate in a short amount of time.
One thing I want to clear up is we're focusing on meat, livestock. Is that because they produce more methane than dairy cattle?
In general, dairy products have a smaller amount of impact because you are getting a product like milk every single day. So the amount of emissions per amount of food is a lot lower than if you raise a cow that lives for 2 years until you
slaughter the cow.
Yes.
The big news, of course, is that Burger King announced it's going to start offering this plant-based burger at all of its locations by the end of the year. Do you take that as a sign that the plant-based movement is going mainstream?
Yes, I certainly do. And that's because it's moving out of a niche market, which is extremely exciting. If it is a common item at the fast food chains or at diners, I think it helps with a reduction in the amount of beef that is eaten. However, at the same time, maybe a similar amount of impact is that it raises our overall awareness and conversation about impacts of beef on the environment.
Paul West is the lead scientist of the Global Landscapes Initiative at the University of Minnesota. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.